finding ways to be financially savvy is a smart move, and knowing you could be saving money for the things you really want, like that dream home or new ride, is a great feeling. That's why the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you save when you choose to bundle home and auto. Bundling, just another way to save with the Personal Price Plan. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Football on Off the Ball.
So we brought Max Damon on, who's not 16 until December, by the way. It's sort of ridiculous. I can't really explain it to see a 15-year-old come on and do what he did.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
That Leeds United team that you joined in this country has legendary status because of you and because of the way that you've spoken about that dressing room over the last 40, 50 years. And we're delighted that a couple of the key figures in that dressing room, two great friends of yours through the years, have come here tonight. Please welcome to the stage Eddie Gray and Joe Jordan. You're in trouble now, John, because you've been claiming an awful lot of credit for that Leeds team for a long time with nobody. Eddie's here to set us all straight.
Well, I'll set you straight. If we didn't say John was the best player I ever played with, he would tell you why he was. No, John was a great player. He came to Leeds, you know, like a good time for the football club. And we had a player there who John admired. Everybody admired. Joe loved him. Called Bobby Collins. And if it wouldn't have been for Bobby Collins coming to Leeds United, maybe even John wouldn't have came. He knew if Bobby Collins was there, the club were doing something right for the point of view of playing football. And Bobby was one of the great players. And Johnny took over Bobby's mantle. I'll tell you what, and there were big shoes to fill, weren't they? And Johnny took over.
You're just interested. Bobby Collins was a small guy, smaller than me.
5'3".
And he'd been a great player. I'd seen him over the years. He was good with older than me, all of us. But I'd seen him play for Celtic and the Scottish League here.
Yeah, Everton.
One of the best players I ever seen. And when he went to Leeds, just to chuck it on a little bit, Eddie, when I asked for a transfer, Leeds came in, second division. And the only reason I was interested in Leeds was Bobby Collins. Yeah. If Bobby Collins hadn't been there, I wouldn't have been interested. But I knew if Bobby Collins was there, they were going somewhere.
And that's true. John always says that to me. And when I says to him, why did you leave Man United? Just won the FA Cup in 1963. He says to me, because I knew Bobby Collins was there. He did.
Yeah.
And that's obviously the rest is history. Johnny took over the mantle of Bobby Collins, playing the midfield area. He became... Bobby Collins, you call him midfield genius, organise a team, and you took over for Bobby. That's right, isn't it? You know, so that's how it happened.
I'm not sure if you two are fully aware of the influence that John has in this country in terms of how we think about football, but because of John, I feel like I know more about Bobby Collins than I do about how Mo Salah plays. and I say that as a real compliment. And people talk about public service broadcasting. I think what John has done over the last 20 or 30 years and keeping the memory of those players alive and explaining to those of us of a different generation how good a Bobby Collins was, because it feels maybe the greatness of a Bobby Collins is getting lost.
Yeah, Bobby Collins was one of the great players, one of the great football players. But, you know, things progress, then John comes over and he takes over that midfield mantle, if you want. Well, he played with a great player as well called Billy Bremner. He was a great player. So we had two great midfield players. That's why I'm here tonight, because of all the players I've played with, John's the best player I've played with. You know, I can say that. I played with a lot of great players. I mean, one of the greatest players that ever played the game was Norman Hunter. John would say that. You know, he got a reputation, you know, bite your legs, Hunter, and Norman would kick you, you know. But he was a great footballer.
Yeah.
He was a great footballer. Yeah. But at that time, you know, I was only young at the time when I came to the club. John assembled, 14, 15 players. You know, one time we had 15 international players, on the books at the same time, playing for different countries. The midfield partnership, as people know in football, if you're strong in the middle of the park, you're always going to be pretty good. And we had John and Billy Bremner, two of the greatest midfield players I've ever played. Completely different types of characters. Billy was off the wall. Billy was off the wall. He was, wasn't he? He was a great player. Billy was one of the greatest players I've ever played, along with John. So that's why the club at that particular time, I think John, I would actually say, I've always thought about John's career. I think he left Manchester United at the right time to come and join Leeds United, who were an up-and-coming club over under Don Revie, had a lot of good young players, great players. Hunter, Peter Lorimer was one of the great players,
All the lads, yeah.
What?
Yeah, all the lads.
All the lads, all great players. Paul Madeley, they were all great players. And I think John came to our club at the right time. Then we got a few younger lads coming in, like Joe and Gordon McQueen, and it just continued then, So it was a great time to play for our club.
And we've heard a lot about that dressing room through the years, and yourself and, Norman and Big Jack and his role. What was John's role in the dressing room?
John didn't have to have a role for a point of view getting on to people or, it wasn't a Bobby Collins in that sense. John was just actually somebody that everybody looked up to because he could play. He could actually play. I remember my best mate at the club at the time, Mick Bates. Mick played about 200 games, but people don't know that. But he was a great lad. And we were only 15. And John had just came to the club, 1963. And Mick and I were on the ground staff. And we'd found a little niche. We could watch the players training. We're supposed to be working on the ground staff. We looked at this little hole and we seen Johnny walking on the pitch. And I've never seen any footballer doing this in my life before. Hey, come on. And he never wore any socks. That was amazing to us. It's just a pair of football boots, no socks. And then Mick and I just watched him and thought, we want to be like that guy, James. And that's the first time I've ever seen Johnny. He was a great influence in the football club. And the funny thing is, one of the greatest players, as obviously know at our club, was Billy Bremner. But I think Johnny was a good influence on Billy from the point of view how he played the game. Billy was a loose cannon, he was. But I think John taught Billy in a way, without saying anything to him, how to play the game. Would you agree with that?
Of course.
Hey everybody, it's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
That door's no big enough for John to go. No, it's true.
Billy was like that. Billy was, first of all, he had a head about himself, Billy, in a way. Every match Billy was going to play in or played in, he had to be man of the match. He had to be a star man, which most of the time he was.
Yeah.
He could do things. He was full of confidence. I've never met a more confident player, normally. Billy was going to be, in his head, man of the match every match. Well, nobody can do that, But he made a good go at it.
Yeah, and the funny thing about Billy and John, they were a great midfield partnership, completely different characters. But the two of them actually scored the same number of goals for the club. The two of them scored 115 goals each for the club.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a lot of goals for midfield over a 10-year period. So you're talking about like 230 goals for two midfield players.
Incredible.
You know, but I must say that I think John was, you know, for Bay, and I must say this, and I think John would agree with us, for Bay Bobby Collins, the influence on the club, Leeds United as a football club in the whole, I think John was probably the biggest influence, you know, for Bay Bobby Collins. Would you agree with that? Oh, you were a bigger influence than Bobby.
No. How can I not agree with you?
No, but it's right, though. You mean...
No, I know what you're saying. Now, Bobby Collins, in my opinion, was a great player. I'd seen Bobby Collins when I was in Dublin. I think he was 10 years older than me. And playing for the Scottish League. And I always thought he was great. So, when I was on the transfer list, which wasn't a long time, I would not have gone to Leeds if Bobby Collins hadn't been there. Because anyway, if Bobby Collins is there, they have to be going in the right direction.
Right.
And as it happened, they finished fourth in the season before. So they were on the... Well, I felt, anyway, they were on the way up. So you're better going to a team that's on the way up than a better-known team on the way down. Hmm. And Bobby Collins proved to be what I thought he would be.
Yeah, but there's a lot of credit to that goes to John Revy as well.
Oh,
manager.
Yes, he got
Here's
him.
Here's your man, he got them
he
all.
He got him in.
He got Bobby,
yeah.
Brought Bobby in.
Yeah.
You know, and like, even when I was younger, Leeds were in the old second division.
Yeah.
You know, and
all the
I'd been to Arsenal, I'd been to Tottenham as a schoolboy.
Yeah.
But I came to Leeds United because of the influence of Don Revy. Now, Don was a great manager, but he was a great footballer as well. Mm. One football of the year.
Yeah. 1956-57
Man City.
Yeah.
You know. So and then Don gradually built the club up. Bobby was a big influence for everybody. Then after John won the FA Cup with Man United in 1963, John came. And then all the younger players, Terry,
Norman
Hunter was one of the great players.
Paul Rooney. Terry Cooper.
Yeah, but Hunter was one of the great players.
Yeah. And this man eventually.
And Joe came. You know, Joe came a little bit later. When Joe came, I mean, first day Joe came to the club, he came in and, he's a young lad. And Don changed him in between me and Peter Lorimer. I mean, my best mate. It was hard for you, Joe, wasn't it?
Joe was a young lad coming into it, and he was in the reserve team dressing room.
Yeah.
And he used to at times. Joe was a very shy lad, and said he was one of the best players ever. I'll say that before we start. But when he came into the second team into the session, the worst thing he could do was come in to comb his hair or something, because Billy Bremner was on to him like a shot. Here's the big tutor. And Joe was a shy lad. Yeah. Billy couldn't care less, could he, Joe?
No.
But, I mean, we actually think, and I'll let Joe speak in a second, we actually think... when you actually think about it, Joe's walking into a dressing room with great player, and then Joe learned for the great players and he ended up having a great career. Then for us, and obviously playing in Milan. And go on, Joe. Shoot on there.
Okay. Joe, just a quick joke. this is about Joe.
Yeah.
He won't be too bothered about that. But Joe came as a young lad, and he wasn't a classy player by any minute. But what a thinker and a worker to get to be one of the best players that played for Leeds United. For effort alone. Brilliant.
Joe, what was that like, that dressing room landscape like when you come into that? How did you get a word in edgeways?
My experience coming to Leeds United, I haven't spoken, but these gentlemen here have done a wee bit of talking. You've heard about Bobby Collins. Bobby Collins, we're not going to go on him too much about. Bobby was instrumental in me going to Leeds United. But what you have in Bobby Collins and what you have in Johnny Giles is, I think everybody here who's seen him in a stadium or on a TV has seen Johnny Giles as a football player. Now, I'm going to just give you a little example of what John Giles was as a person, as a man. I arrived at Leeds United as 18 years of age, had been a part-time player at Morton for two years. I played six games with Morton. I had one pre-season training, and Bobby seen me and recommended me. He was at Morton, and I eventually arrived at Leeds United. And at 18, I was thrown into this club, and Eddie's already explained, 14 international players. It was the team. In my opinion, I knew all the players by name, and I get this opportunity to go there. Now, I'm going to talk about John and a short little example of John as a man. Now, I arrived there, and through a period of time, I was in the reserves, and I actually got into the squad and going with the first team in my first season. And then that was 1971, we ended up winning the Fairs Cup. It was an incredible experience. I'm at Graham Morton 1 year, and then I'm going with Leeds United to play Juventus in the Fairs Cup final. And it was an incredible experience for me. But during that year, in an early part of my career at Leeds United, you would get on the bus, for example, and you would have that table there, playing cards, this, that, and the other. And John would be sat two or three seats down, and he'd be reading his book. So he'd be reading his book, wasn't interested in the gambling or whatever it was. And actually, I was a similar guy. I wasn't going to, because I didn't have the money to do it for a start. So I wasn't involved in that. And I would read my book. And in those journeys coming back from Leicester City or Newcastle, that, Johnny had the wherewithal. He actually spoke to me and asked me, and then would talk to me about the game. He would talk to me about the game on how the game went, how I performed, and would give me advice, which was priceless. It's been mentioned here, I was quiet there because I listened to a dressing room and on the bus, players who were great players and knew the game. And Johnny Giles had the time to speak to me and advise me on certain parts of my game, which was priceless. That's not just the player who spoke with a lot of common sense and a lot of knowledge. It was Johnny Giles, someone who you looked at and he was a player. And that is my big memory of John. Not the football player, is of the man. Learning someone at 18, coming from part-time football player, having played six games on his way a different level to catch up, and I did catch up because of Leeds United Football Club, and that Leeds United Football was the players. The manager was arguably, in my opinion, and I've played with some good managers and that, and I've played for some crackers, I'll tell you that as well. But Don Revie was, in my opinion, he was the best manager that I ever played under. But the players is the what I learned from. And that example, what Johnny did, who had the time after a game to be able to pass on information to me, and I absorbed it. And I think what I learned from that and these conversations helped me to become a better player and play catch-up, which I did. And I had a career from that. So there you go. That's Johnny Giles.
Everybody, it's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
So we'll go back to Eddie now.
I'd just like to add a little thing, you know. Me and my best mate, Jimmy Lumsden, when we were younger, we used to babysit for Anne and Johnny, didn't we? The tight side, they never gave us a penny. Do you remember we used to babysit for you, didn't we? We used to babysit for you,
yeah.
Jimmy and I, yeah, my best mate in life.
Yeah, when Jimmy were drinking a bottle of whiskey.
No.
I'm only kidding.
No. Now we used to. It's funny, you know, like when we were young, we did used to babysit.
You did,
John, yeah. And I, and we, yeah, did.
Brilliant.
And like, yeah, ended up playing with John for 10, 12 years, and you never think of things like that. Jimmy and I, my best mate in life. We come down for Glasgow. We're still best mates. And he loves John, and John loves him. But we always talk about that. Remember, we used to babysit, and the tight saws never give us a penny.
What a brilliant bond, though, because, look, we've had, you know, John on probably too many times in recent years where you've been having to pay tribute to some of your teammates who sadly passed away, the likes of Norman Hunter or Jack Charlton. And the warmth and the connection that you've somehow all maintained over 50 years is not something that every dressing room has.
No. Well, the thing was, as you know, like, we were a team. Lots of clubs. When I was out at Manchester United before I left, it wasn't a team. You know what I mean? Dennis Law didn't talk to them. They were great players and they won a lot of things, but they didn't have the spirit that the Leeds lads had. You know, Eddie Felt, he came as a young lad, and we were very, very close together on the pitch and off the pitch. There's no doubt about that. And that's the way it just was. I mean, to be fair, Don created that. Don was very, very big on getting team spirit, you know? And Matt Busby, after the Munich Air disaster, like before the Munich Air disaster, the Busby Babes, they were like that. They were all the same age and that. And then it broke it up altogether. You know, Dennis Law came. Now, I'm not blaming Dennis Law, he was a great player. But there was a lot of people, players bought into the club that definitely weren't the Busby Babes. But Leeds had it, definitely, at that particular time. A lot of young players. I mean, Bobby Collins was the older player who was great. Jack Charlton was one of the older players. And after that, you had Gary Sprake, Paul Reaney, Norman Hunter, Terry Cooper, and all. And Billy Bremner. They were all young fellas coming into the team.
We feel sorry for some of those young fellas who came in, like Joe, and some of the things that they were exposed to in that Leeds United dressing room and the expectations of one for all that you had as a team.
We definitely had.
We might have a look of one of the more famous clips. So yourself and Kevin Keegan, who the night of your 80th birthday was good enough to come on air. I think your opening line when Kevin came on was, "How's the jaw, Kevin?"
After that, I was going to take up boxing.
let's have a quick look.
Suspicious looking handball, but I think it hit hand rather than the other way.
Look at Keegan now. Yes. Look.
Oh, yeah.
Looks like a right hook by Johnny Giles.
He did punch me.
I should have been off.
It should have been off.
But he was all over me. You see it again.
All over
you. I've got the running towards the ball. And he's over this, he's over that, he's over this. And I just let his head go past me. I was totally wrong. I'll tell you where I was lucky. I got on well with that referee. Yeah, look at the ref, look. Should have been off. Yellow card.
There's a couple of other highlights from that era as well. I think we're going to play a Southampton clip here in a sec. One of the great Leeds United performances where you're beating Southampton 7-0. It's an amazing display here. Have a look.
Every man jack of this Leeds side is now turning it on. Oh, look at that. It's almost cruel. The Ellen Road crowd are lapping it up.
You weren't bad.
I'll tell you one thing. I'll tell you something very, very clever. Not clever here, good. Eddie got on to me for that.
Why?
because I was showing up to the opposition.
Showboating.
Showing off. And I said, to be honest, I just wanted to come over. I was fed up. I was only doing it because of boredom. And Eddie gave me a telling off. Do you remember that, Eddie?
Yeah.
Well, we didn't beat
team. Jason, what are you doing?
We didn't often, we weren't that often beating team 7-0.
No.
Were we?
No.
Well, so.
But that was a period when we beat Southampton 7.
Yeah.
And the week before, or the week after, we beat Man United 5.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, if they got seven, we would have given the back
heel. Yeah, good team.
And we were having a good run at that stage.
Yeah.
There's one other thing we need to establish, which is the training games that you guys would have had, because big English contingent, obviously, big Scottish contingent in the dressing room as well.
Yeah.
Is it true that it would have been Scotland versus England in five-a-side games?
Yes, Johnny was a floater. He had to float around. It could have been one team one week and it could have been another team. Don had to stop the games because it got a bit heated, didn't they?
They always do.
Scotland against England, it was always heated, you know.
Do you tell Eddie the amount of Scots played in the team? Five, six.
Right,
Scott. Yeah.
Did you prefer playing on the Scottish team or the English team?
I didn't want to play for either of them.
You always mind now. You know, yeah, we do with some battles with the Scotland-England games, didn't we?
Oh, all of
you remember them.
He stopped them.
He stopped them. The manager
Friday,
stopped them. He did stop them.
No, he would not. He would not allow it on a Friday.
Yeah.
No. Friday's
junior match. Your teammate, Scotland against England was always a fiery competition.
Yeah.
Who was at the centre of it?
Who were they? Hunter for one, English.
Well, he couldn't help himself. He couldn't help himself anyway.
Norman was.
He didn't like the Scots.
He was one of the great players, you know. People don't realise. I don't think people in this country realised what a great player Norman Hunter was. He was one of the great players.
He was. I'll tell you why, in my opinion, Bobby Moore was around at that time.
Norman was a better player, club player, than Bobby Moore. Well,
Eddie, I might come to that in a minute. Yeah. But Norman was a great... to be honest, even in those days, if I had the pick of Bobby Moore or Norman for Leeds United, I would have taken Norman.
Who would you pick for the international team, though?
I thought Bobby Moore was a really great international player.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, that's what I think. Yeah. Hunter was a better league player.
Yeah, but Eddie, we played with Norman week in and week out. Do you know what I mean? I think you're inclined to be, and I would be a bit biased for him. He was just a great player. He was brilliant, but he was totally different to Bobby Moore altogether.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to say, well, Bobby Moore won the World Cup. He was a great player. They were just different.
Yeah.
You know, if I was to pick them week in and week out...
You'd pick Hunter.
I'd take Hunter.
Oh, you would. Yeah, I would. Wouldn't you?
So we're not disagreeing with each other that much.
You'd pick Bobby Moore.
You're the deciding vote.
So you're talking about...
Two of the great
the captain
players.
Of England who's picked up the World Cup.
Yeah, two great players, yeah.
I think he's got something on his...
On his CV, Bobby Moore has. But if you says to me, or says to John, if you were forward, who would you rather play against? Or you? Week in, week out, Bobby Moore or Hunter? Rather play against Bobby Moore.
It would be a privilege to play against him, because if you're playing against them, you're playing at the top.
That's one thing,
fortunate enough to play against both of them.
That's the one thing that annoys me about our club, and you know, our club especially, you know, in English football. People don't actually realise how good Hunter was. Hunter was one of the great, great players. Great footballer, great defender. Yeah.
But we did.
No, we did. Oh, I know. Yeah, we did.
As a player, which would you rather have? Your own team saying, are you the best, or the papers? We never cared about the papers.
No, we didn't, you know.
But Norman was definitely something that you could talk about all day, right? If it was for Leeds United, right, I would pick Norman because we'd...
Of course you would.
Well, Bobby Moore was like an international level and that. And
yeah,
was,
that's so, right. You can't argue with that. There were
two great players, Eddie, of different styles.
Yeah, but every time Bobby Moore walked out for England, at Wembley with the ball in his hand.
Yeah.
He did start here. He had a, you know, he just looked as if he was captain England, which he proved.
Who did Big Jack prefer playing alongside?
Himself.
I tell you what, for 5 years, I think for 5 years in a row, Big Jack was the best centre-half in the world.
I had a great time for him. I think he was a terrific player.
Yeah,
great player, Jack.
Years, I think he was the best.
But I'd have to say, on a personal level, I didn't get on with Jack very well.
I know that. You don't need to tell me that.
And I'll tell the group here why, right? Jack was a brilliant centre-half.
Yeah.
Definitely it was. But Jack saw the game through his own eyes, right? I'll tell you how, why. With Bremner and myself in particular, we could pick up the ball on the edge of the box. And Jack would say, to me particularly, what the fuck are you doing here?
I don't understand, yeah.
Right? Because if Jack had the ball in that position, there's a good, really good chance he'd lose it. Right? Me and Bremner were two small guys, never going to lose the ball on the edge of the box. But that's the way Jack played. Jack was that character, Eddie. He saw everything through his own eyes. Now, luckily enough, as a centre-half, he was a brilliant centre-half.
But Jack thought he was a better footballer than John and Billy Bremner.
No, he did.
When he got the ball on the edge of the box, he did.
No, he was scared of getting it, Eddie. I remember talking to, well, I talked to Jack a lot. I remember saying to him one time, because I knew the way he was on with Billy and myself. I said, you wouldn't say that to your Bobby. He said, you know, he said something like that. He said, I would if he didn't do what I told him. I mean, this is Bobby. This is, again, around the edge of the box. Do you know what I mean? Because if Jack around the edge of the box, he was a terrific centre-half, but he wouldn't be able to dribble, or he could try, but he wouldn't be able to do it. That's so. But he saw it that way, through his eyes, with everything, Jack. Everything.
Big Jack was a great centre-half. I must say, and I've always thought this, when I watch, I don't think England would have won the World Cup when they did if Jack wasn't playing centre-half. I thought he was brilliant in the World Cup.
Well, he was, but so was Bobby Moore.
Bobby Moore couldn't run like Jack.
He could do other things better than Jack, though. What about him on the ball, Bobby Moore?
Jack was dangerous on the ball. The only thing is, you don't concede goals, you don't lose games. And Jack was a great centre-half.
I think this is a heck of an insight into the Leeds rescuers.
Can I ask Joe one last question before we let you go? So, 1974, you win the league and Don Revie's leaving to go to England. And as we're seeing and talking about, like, this is a dressing room full of big personalities, big football brains, and at the time John is the one who's seen as the likely chosen one to succeed Revie, to become the Leeds United manager. Now, it doesn't happen with Clough coming in and Jimmy Armfield coming in, and that's probably another 3 hours to get into what happened there. But why was it in that dressing room of such giant footballing minds John was the one that people thought was the most likely to succeed Revie? Because you were probably just starting to hit the prime of your career at that stage.
Yes, I was at. I went to the World Cup that year through the performances and the success that Leeds United had. But I think what the big thing was the respect that the dressing room would have had in Johnny getting the job. They made a mess of it. That was a turning point in that club's career. Yeah. Not doing what they did. You had Brian Clough who came in first. Proved himself to be a great manager, but coming into Leeds United, it was the last place that he should have chosen to come to, and his entrance there didn't help in many ways the way that he approached the job, and he left after 44 days, and from that he went on and proved himself to be a great manager. Jimmy Armfield came in, not for me.
Not for me.
By then, they had made an arse of it. Yeah. That was basically it. And to get back to it was a long one. Johnny had decided, even by not getting he was, at the first opportunity, he did enough, he was going to go. And rightly so. I'll pass over to you.
I don't think that's exactly a true story, because John, I believe, if this is right, John, you were told you were the new manager of Leeds United. Is that right? Yes.
No.
You told me and Peter you were.
No, 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 Eddie, I didn't. I didn't.
He says to me and Peter, I'll be the new manager of Leeds United.
No.
But what,
what had happened, this is the real truth, okay. When Don Revie was leaving, he told me, he was recommending me for the job.
I know that, yeah.
Right. Then I got a call after Don left from the director to meet him. This was a Friday morning, very early, to talk it out.
Being the new manager, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what the... In other words, he said to me, will you take the job before I went down?
Yeah.
Right. Now, what happened then? I went down at this time, and Billy was injured at that particular... This was only about 9 o'clock in the morning. We had a match later on that day to come down. Will you take the job? Manny Cousins was used to talk like that. And I went down for the job, up to about the job, and they said, before I could say it, they said, look, we're just going to have to leave it for the time being. And my editor said, what the hell am I doing here at 9 o'clock in the morning? And when I just before I went up to see them, Billy was injured at that time.
Yeah, I know.
Right.
Yeah.
And Billy whispered me something, and I didn't catch what it was, right? But they didn't offer me the job, right? So I went home. It took me about half hour to go home. And I knew there was something odd about this. This is not right. And then before I got home, I stumbled to it. And Billy must have said to me, I'm putting my name forward for the job.
I know he did, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I didn't catch it. But luckily, we were meeting at lunchtime to go for a match. And I rang Dave Harvey, was a big pal of mine. And I rang Dave Harvey, said, Dave, can you go in a few minutes early and find out, did Billy go and...
Put an application
in. In for a job.
He did.
And Dave rang me back and said, yes, he did. That's what happened.
Yeah, but you were getting a job.
Eddie.
You were getting a job. I know you were getting a job.
Yes, I know that. But if you're in the situation I'm in, Billy is captain of the team. Big noise in the team, total big noise in the team. And he's putting himself in for...
Big noise in the team, from what point of view?
He was a brilliant player.
Yeah, he was a brilliant player.
And the crowd loved...
No big noise in a team with sort of all the boys.
It was not down to the boys.
Yeah. No, but what you're saying, you say there's a big noise in the team.
Yeah. So, seeing he was very popular with the crowd. Very popular
That's
with the crowd.
That's not a team.
But he was very... Well, he was a brilliant player for the team.
Oh, he was a brilliant player,
Eddie,
yeah.
You're going sideways.
No, I'm going straight forward.
This conversation, I feel, is going to continue long into the night.
Anyway, what happened was... Manny Cousins was the thing. He's ringing me early in the morning to go and say, will you take the job? In the meantime, Billy's gone up to tell them he's in for the job.
I know that.
And then they're not going to do it. They stop then.
They didn't want to pick a side, Giles or Bremner, so they took the other way out.